sports don't stop on the weekends, and neither does NBC Sports Radio. Ready for this? It's the Dave Smith Show.
Just when you think you have it all figured out, sometimes I guess you do have it all figured out. At least so far in college football, you know, this is the time of year when we're starting to see upsets. And I said today that I love Boston College over Clemson today on their home field. If there's going to be an upset here toward the end of the season, that's what I like. And it's a tight game right now in the second quarter. The game is at BC. And, but we got a lot of fans listening to NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com in the great city of Boston. And right now it's 10-7 Clemson over BC. It's Dave Smith here on the Dave Smith Show at NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. 855-3234-NBC or hit me up on Twitter at Dave Sports God. The number one team in the country today, Alabama, Tua, Tua, Tua. Kind of like saying Tora, Tora, Tora. Remember that great movie from back in the 60s, I think it was? Tua, a couple of touchdown passes again today for Alabama. 24-0 with a win over the number 16 team in the country, Mississippi State. And I think you can take that Heisman Trophy and gift wrap it and dust off the shelves in the Alabama football room and dust off the shelves at Tua's home and at the cupboard at his house, because he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Will Greer in the running, of course. Kyler Murray from Oklahoma. I like Mackenzie Milton from Central Florida as well. I think Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State kind of dropped out of the running here, but it's got to go Tua, doesn't it? 24-0, an easy win today for Alabama. Michigan, you think this might have been a little bit of a trap game today if they were playing a little bit better quality opponent than Rutgers. But the Wolverines win 42-7 today, and wow. After the 78-0 trouncing 2 years ago, said, well, maybe. And Rutgers did hold it together at only 21-7 at halftime. But the superiority of Michigan came through. Now Michigan has Indiana next week. They're not bad, the Hoosiers. They're kind of a bottom-rung Big Ten team, but they're not bad. If Michigan's looking ahead to Ohio State the next week, could be a tight game. That's a trap game right there. And if they get past that one, which I think they will, then I think this is the year that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh beat Ohio State. But let me tell you something. They beat them 2 years ago. For those who say, well, Jim Harbaugh's never beaten Ohio State, and that's a black mark on his record, he beat them 2 years ago. Well, you're looking at the scoreboard right now and saying, Dave Smith, you're an idiot. They didn't beat him 2 years ago. They lost in double overtime. Well, if you watch that game, in double overtime, Ohio State had a fourth down, and Michigan stopped them a foot short of a first down. Game over, because Michigan was leading in the double overtime. Stopped them on fourth down, ball game. They showed the replay. They were at least a foot short. And, of course, Ohio State challenged the call. And for some reason, I still can't understand today, despite what the replay evidence showed, the referees moved the ball forward a foot, gave the Buckeyes a first down, then they went on to score on that drive and won in double overtime. So no, Jim Harbaugh is not winless against Ohio State. He beat them 2 years ago. Just because he got screwed over by the referees, and just because some corrupt guy up in the booth going against what the replay showed moved the ball forward, to me that's a win. Game over. Dave Smith and the Dave Smith Show here at NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. 855-3234-NBC. Oh, look who we have on the line right now. Boy, what an honor. When you talk about a guy who loves the show and somebody who says, hey, no matter what, I can turn it over to my assistants here. See, we're at halftime at LSU in Arkansas. And LSU's up 14-0 right now, and our favorite coach in America. And when he was coaching out here at USC, and I was doing local sports talk radio and interviewing Coach O, Ed Orgeron, every week. What a great guy. This is why I pull for LSU to win every week, because I love Coach O. What a great guy. Difficult to understand at times with that heavy Cajun accent. And I think, you know, to be honest with you, I think he would exaggerate just to mess with me and make sure I didn't understand anything. But LSU's up 14-0 at halftime right now over Arkansas. Let's say, before he gets into the locker room with his players, Coach Ed Orgeron, congratulations on a good first half.
Man, that good one, man. And they got another one, man. What do you call the difference between them? They know, no man, with a little squirt gun.
He's dying over there from ancient antiquities.
Little squirt gun. Coach, anyway, Alabama last week. You got shut out 29-0, problems on offense, problems at quarterback. You think in the offseason, maybe a new offensive coordinator, hard recruit of a quarterback.
Point to the public domain, Title IX, 7, the State Resource Code.
Title IX?
I tell you what, man.
You recruit a woman?
Tell you what, man, he gets all prettied up and then old Cummins hair all went off to the side, man. I'm going to act like this, like, get my good side, man. You're done your pretty sissied out, like.
Okay, well, pretty sissied out, huh? And you got to go Title IX. I don't know what that has to do with the first half here. But, Coach, coming up, you got to finish the season off, go to a good bowl game. But how about the second half coming up tonight? Up 14-0 over Arkansas. Hopefully the team not looking ahead. What needs to be done in the second half to continue this?
Dang on costume, man. I'm going to put on a big dang on mine, man. Look, it's like I'm trying to get out of this box, man. Say, whoa, then going to play tug of war, man.
Hey, man. Hello, Hank, Peggy.
Okay, well, Coach, sounds excited. I'm having a hard time understanding him here, but good luck in the second half. Good luck for the rest of the season, and thanks for joining us, Coach.
Oh, man, you did. My little old skin art, did you? Man, old Hank.
I tell you what, man, you want to get a flying cow, man. You go load up them dynamite and old cannon like that. You go to boom, man, the old cow fly it all over.
Okay,
dang,
thank
man,
you.
It's
thank
quick,
you,
man.
Coach. That's all right, that's enough. Thank you, Coach Ed Orgeron. Heading into the locker room at halftime with his LSU Bengal Tigers up 14-0 over Arkansas. Did he mention Title IX there? And he talked about sissy boys, too. Is he talking about his own team there or the University of Arkansas? Oh, he's always the best. It's Dave Smith here at NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Hit me up on the phone lines here, 855-3234-NBC, or hit me up on Twitter as well, @DaveSportsGod. Well, how about Central Florida again today, 35-24 over Navy. By the way, the defending national champion, Central Florida Golden Knights, as I've been calling them since last season when they beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl. Undefeated again, 9-0 now. They've won 22 straight games. And I know Navy's not having a good year. I think they went to 2-8 now, but it's always tricky playing those guys with the option offense and Coach Ken. So now what's left for Central Florida? Well, Cincinnati, who has only one loss this year. Then a rivalry game against a one-loss South Florida team. And then probably Houston in the AAC, in the American Championship game. Boy, those are three tough ones. And I would like to think that if they go undefeated 2 years in a row and they get through that schedule here at the end of the year, they're going to find a way to get into the Final Four. Unfortunately, there's no chance in hell. Unless everything blows up and everybody has two losses at the end of the year, there's no chance. Which is why we need to expand to six teams. You know, given maybe the 1 and 2 seeds, the first round bye, or eventually they're going to go to 8. You know we're going to do that. So once they go to 8, then teams like Central Florida, I think a non-Power 5 conference should always be guaranteed a slot if you go to 8. And if you went to 6, I think if they went undefeated, they get in this year as well. See, here's the thing. Now, right now, if form holds, and Clemson's up 13-7 now over Boston College in the second quarter, and remember, I called the upset tonight. I'm picking Boston College. Last week, I said Boston College wins this game, so I'm picking upset here. And by the way, next week, this is what I've been calling for a month. Syracuse will go to Notre Dame and win. Now, why am I saying that? Notre Dame looks pretty good tonight. They're blowing out Florida State. I think that's a look-ahead game for Notre Dame. Now, well, how could that be a look-ahead game? Syracuse is in the top 20 in the country, and they're a really good team, which they are, of course. But you know what's coming up the week after Syracuse is USC, the rivalry game for Notre Dame. Now, USC, of course, four losses this year, not having a good season. But USC's athletes are as good as anybody. They're poorly coached. The offensive coordinator doesn't know what he's doing. And USC certainly should be a lot better than this. When you line up talent for talent, man for man, USC is about as good as any team in the country. Problem is they're poorly coached. But if they put it together, USC can beat Notre Dame, especially at home. So Notre Dame, are they looking ahead and overlooking Syracuse? Yes, I think Syracuse is a trap game. I think Notre Dame will be looking ahead, and I think the Orangemen take them down next week. But tonight, it's going to be Boston College over Clemson. You see, I set myself up to look like a jackass a lot of times when I make predictions like this. We'll see. I think these are both trap games. We will see. Big news in the NBA today. How about Jimmy Butler finally getting traded? He's been demanding a trade all year. Said he didn't want to go back and play with the Minnesota Timberwolves. During a practice before the season, he called Karl Anthony Towns soft. He called Andrew Wiggins soft. And by the way, he's correct on both counts. Say what you will about Jimmy Butler. You know, and I don't like the fact that he's demanding trades and he's not playing back-to-backs and he sat out a game because of quote-unquote, general soreness, whatever the hell that is. But he's correct. When he's out there, Jimmy Butler plays hard for every second he's out there. And he's one of the top two-way players in the league, offense, defense. Andrew Wiggins is a guy I'm greatly disappointed in, somebody whom I thought would be a top five player in the NBA and a superstar by this point. Karl Anthony Towns, well, immensely talented. He can step out and make threes. He can dominate around the rim. He can finish. He can rebound. He's soft as well. And he disappears for long, lengthy periods out there for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Thibs, I would imagine, isn't going to be the coach very much longer. So the trade today. Jimmy Butler goes to the Philadelphia 76ers along with Justin Patton. And going to the T-Wolves, Robert Covington, Dario Saric, a number two pick, and Jared Bayless. Now, this is a really good trade for the 76ers. Now, I like Covington. Covington's a solid player, and so is Dario Saric, who had a really good rookie year last year. Saric is a double-digit scorer and a nice player. Covington's a guy who plays hard, double-digit scorer, nice player. They're not Jimmy Butler. And when you look at the Philadelphia 76ers team as it was constructed before today, good team, probably a 50-win team, not as good as the Raptors, not as good as the Celtics. At best, the 76ers, number three in the East. Now, assuming Jimmy Butler's healthy? Yeah. Are they as good as the Raptors, who are 12-1 right now? Are they as good as the Celtics, who are still trying to figure out a way to get Gordon Hayward into the mix and get everybody blended together? Yeah. With a healthy Jimmy Butler, assuming his head's right and he's out there playing hard and he's not hurt, I think the 76ers now, after this trade, I think they're just as good as the Raptors and just as good as the Celtics. They weren't before today. I think they are now. What do you think? 855-3234-NBC or at Dave Sports God. Well, coming up at the bottom of the hour, this is going to be a good one. For somebody who is a student of baseball history like I am, I found this fascinating. Now, how many people have followed baseball throughout history and love the statistics and love everything else that goes with it? Kostya Kennedy. He's written a book called The Story of Baseball in 100 Photographs. Boy, what a great coffee table book. I was thumbing through it today. This is outstanding. He's coming up at the bottom of the hour. But coming up next, you're not going to want to go away from your radio or your devices here or however you're listening to the Dave Smith Show here at NBC Sports Radio, because the Westgate Super Sportsbook in Las Vegas has put out betting lines on a couple of games here. Fascinating stuff, and games that I've been asking about on the air. How do you think these things would be handicapped? And when we come back, Jim Nelson back there, can you call my bookie on the phone, please? I gave you his number before the show, and could you please send him a limousine that I will pay for?
On it.
To get him here quickly, because if this ever happens, I want to make large bets on the two dogs.
Yeah, he'll be here in 38 seconds.
Thank you. Don't give him the code again. You almost got me fired last time. It's Dave Smith here at NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. You know, we talk a lot about how some of the great college teams of all time would do against NBA teams, how an NFL team would do against a great college team like Alabama. I know Paul Pierce and Jalen Rose the other day were saying that the UNLV teams of 1990 and 91, the Larry Johnson, Stacey Augmon, Greg Anthony. God, what was that other guard's name? He was a good Anderson Hunt, George Ackles, David Butler, all those guys. Moses Scurry. Both Paul Pierce and Jalen Rose were saying that team would have made the playoffs in the NBA. Now, I don't know if I would go that far. But that was an awesome team. But the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook, I think, you know, out of fun and out of interest and to get people talking like me, because this is always a great topic for the radio, they posted odds of two games right now. Theoretically, if these games were to be played, Alabama against the Buffalo Bills and Duke, this year's Duke team, against the, I believe, 1-10 Cleveland Cavaliers, who are looking like one of the worst NBA teams of all time right now. I mean, if Kevin Love is your best player, you'll be lucky to win 10 games. It's the Dave Smith Show here at NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. 855-3234-NBC or Twitter at Dave Sports Guy. All right, let's go to the first one here. Alabama against the Buffalo Bills. Now, I will quantify this by saying, if Nathan Peterman is starting at quarterback, and he's been the starting quarterback lately, evidently, though, it's going to be Matt Barkley tomorrow, as Josh Allen still isn't ready to go. I'm taking, here are the odds. Buffalo minus 28.5 on a neutral field. The Buffalo Bills over Alabama. I'm taking Alabama 6 days a week, twice on Sunday, and I'm also taking them on the money line. If Nathan Peterman's playing quarterback, Alabama would beat this Buffalo Bills team. Especially, just imagine if they played at home in Tuscaloosa under college rules. They might beat them by 3 touchdowns. Now, let's say that Josh Allen were playing for the Buffalo Bills, although he's a rookie. 28.5 is still too much. Okay, here are my odds. If Nathan Peterman's starting at quarterback for the Bills, I'm going Alabama minus 7.5 in that game on a neutral field. They'll get at least 5 interceptions, won't they? If Josh Allen is playing, and he showed some flashes this year, he looked like he might be a pretty good quarterback. I was thinking about making that a pick'em, but if it's Josh Allen playing for the Bills, I would make Alabama a 1.5-point favorite over the Buffalo Bills if Josh Allen playing, because Tua is a much better quarterback than Josh Allen. Tua is a superstar. And forget Nathan Peterman and Matt Barkley. He's not even in the conversation. And while every player on the Buffalo Bills is an NFL player, Alabama has more good NFL players than the Buffalo Bills. When you look at the way Alabama lines up on offense and defense, there's more players on Alabama's team who will be good starting caliber Pro Bowl NFL players than the Buffalo Bills have, especially at quarterback. So I'm taking Alabama all day long if Peterman's playing. I'm taking them in a close one over Buffalo if it's Josh Allen. Now, the other one is Duke against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, this one, the Cavaliers' best players are Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, George Hill, Rodney Hood, CeeDee Osman, and Colin Sexton, the rookie from Alabama. I don't think this one is even close. I think Duke wins by double digits if they play the Cavaliers. But the Las Vegas Westgate Superbook, they've got Duke plus 22.5. They've got the Cavaliers as 22.5-point favorites. Get my bookie on the phone, Jim Nelson, or get me a flight to Las Vegas, please, quickly, if they ever make this game. Because I'm betting the mortgage, I'm betting the farm, I'm betting everything I've got on Duke plus 22.5. I just listed all the Cavaliers' best players. Duke has 3 players on their team right now better than anybody on the Cavaliers' roster. And I looked at mock drafts today about what's going to happen this summer. Duke players right now are going 1, 2, 3 in the NBA draft this summer. R.J. Barrett, who is sensational, he had 33 points against Kentucky the other night when Duke scored 118. Zion Williamson, even Steve Kerr is calling him the next LeBron. He had 28. And Cam Reddish had 22. These three, all three of these guys are better than anybody on that Cavaliers roster. And you can only play 5 at a time. Duke would beat the Cavaliers double digits if they played. What is this, 22.5-point favorite? I just read you the Cavaliers roster. Duke has the top 3 picks in the draft, 3 NBA All-Stars, maybe Hall of Famers. Oh, give me some of that. Duke plus 22.5, Duke on the money line, Duke. Every way you can bet him, I'm taking Duke. Kostya Kennedy coming up next, author of The Story of Baseball and 100 Photographs with Dave Smith here at NBC Sports Radio.